Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's Monday, July 27th, 2020. I'm David Ellis, with you up until 2 o'clock, and my producer is Dennis Johnson. We welcome him back. The number, 4341790, and you can also send us your WhatsApp messages at 266-4862. Now, we are going to have the first part of today's program, going until 12:30, down to the news, devoted to reflections on the contribution which has been made to Barbados by the late Owen Arthur, former Prime Minister of this country. We are going to hear from you, the members of the public, as well as from some of those who knew him well. Owen Arthur remembered the first part of Down to Brass Tacks.
Was 70 years old at the time of his death. He was born on October 17, 1949, and he was a shopkeeper's son from St. Peter. Mr. Arthur was educated at Courage and Parry Boys School, Harrison College, the Cahill campus of the University of the West Indies, where he earned a BA degree in economics and history, and at Mona in Jamaica, where he earned a master's in science degree in economics. After graduating, he held positions with Jamaica's National Planning Agency and the Jamaica Bauxite Institute before returning to Barbados and joining the Ministry of Finance and Planning in 1981. With Tom Adams as Prime Minister, Barbados had entered a standby arrangement with the International Monetary Fund, our first such assistance from the IMF, and Mr. Arthur worked assisting with the implementation of that program. He was appointed to the Barbados Senate in 1983, and then he took a more direct plunge into politics. He ran for the House of Assembly. Mr. Arthur was elected to the House in 1984 in a by-election called on the resignation of Burton Hines. There were two by-elections. There was a first by-election on July 19, 1984, when he came up against Sybil Leacock of the Democratic Labour Party as his main opponent and three other independent candidates. Miss Leacock was declared the winner by one vote, but the then Prime Minister Tom Adams insisted that the BLP should contest the result, and so they did. In September of that year, the Supreme Court ruled that the July 19th election was null and void because of errors made by election officials, and so the people of St. Peter went back to the polls a second time on November 22, 1984. On this occasion, Mr. Arthur was again up against Miss Leacock and two independents. The result was a reversal of the July outcome, with Owen Arthur of the BLP winning the seat. Then came the 1986 elections. By then, Tom Adams had died, and Bernard St. John was leading the Labour Party into these elections. The BLP was soundly beaten. The Dems, led by Errol Barrow, trounced them 24-3, Henry Ford, Owen Arthur, and David Simmons being the winners, and commonly referred to back then as the Three Blind Mice. Henry Ford speaking about it in 2002.
I can never forget the hard work done for this country first, for this party next, and for all of us by the Right Honorable Owen Arthur. I remember when I asked him to be shot a Minister of Finance, some of our very supporters said to me, well, why are you giving up the limelight and putting him in the spotlight? And I said to them that perhaps because Sir Harold St. John and I came of the school that believed that the interests of our party was more important than the interests of ourselves. And at that time, that as Tom Adams had foreseen before us, I recognized that we were fortunate to have an Owen Arthur among us with the economic wisdom, sense, and vision, which was already blossoming even in his young days.
He added back then,
not only did he perform extremely well in the post a shadow minister of finance. But he could speak on almost anything. And that is one of the things that the three of us certainly learnt in our time in the House of Assembly. I had watched St. John in this regard and other people before me. But during that period in particular, we learned that since there were only three of us in the house below, that we had to become expert in all aspects of governmental affairs. And therefore, we would do our homework and would get up and from time to time. That's how I learned about national insurance.
Prime Minister Barrow died in June of 1987 and was succeeded by Erskine Sandiford. In February of 1989, Dr. Richie Haynes and three other DLP members left that party to form the National Democratic Party. Having done so, they then ousted the BLP as the official opposition in Parliament. And that then took us to the 1991 elections, where the House of Assembly was expanded to 28 seats. Henry Ford led the BLP into those elections, which they lost, winning 10 seats of the 28. And in 1993, Owen Arthur was chosen to lead the Barbados Labour Party in opposition. By the next election, in 1994, he took the BLP to victory when they won 19 of the 28 seats. Again, he did so in 1999 with an even bigger win of 26-2. And then in 2003, by a margin of 23 seats to the DLP's 7. Here is some of the Owen Arthur we heard on the platform over the years.
I return to you with a little bit more gray at the temples. I return to you with a bit more jowl in the cheeks. I return to you a little fatter around the midwaist. I return to you a little older, hopefully a little wiser. My party has come here at the start of this campaign to fulfill the highest duty required of those to whom power is given, to account to the people, to answer for our stewardship directly to you, the people, who gave us the power in the first instance. I told you that job number one was jobs. And ladies and gentlemen, I was ridiculed when I suggested that a country as small as Barbados could produce 30,000 new jobs.
John Williams will go to the funeral and say, Stephen Smith saw me at the funeral and tell me, tell the Prime Minister I want the pig. Mr. Hinkson couldn't go anywhere. My ministers couldn't go anywhere. Unless Stephen Smith said, tell the Prime Minister I'm begging thee for the pig. And my office received correspondence from Stephen Smith indicating his resignation from the Democratic Labour Party. And I hear about how people have been bought. But Stephen Smith was not bought, but he put himself in a position where he could have been purchased. And you know,
it was said that you do not become the finest steel until you have gone through the hottest fires. I have been tested, I've tested, and I feel I have been tried. I give you still a youthful energy. I give you a vision that is clear. I give you integrity. I give you the enthusiasm of a person who only want to serve and do nothing else. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I start this campaign by telling you that Barbados is in safe hands. Once I am the Prime Minister of this land, there's nobody that is going to push wrong Barbados.
That's the voice of the late Owen Arthur, as we pay a special tribute to him in the first part of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks, on the line to talk a bit more about his contribution to this country is former Attorney General of Barbados, former Chief Justice of this country as well, Sir David Simmons, and we also have former Member of Parliament and former leader of the Barbados Labour Party at one time, Sir Henry Ford. Sir Henry, let's come to you first of all. Your thoughts this morning on the passing of Owen Arthur.
First, David, let me say that my heart begins with great sadness at Owen's passing. I learned only not even a few hours ago. Owen Arthur has made such a tremendous contribution to Barbados, to its people, to the Caribbean, and has been an outstanding example of what a prime minister should be. As you know, David, who is on the, I think is also on the line here.
Yes.
And I and Owen were dubbed the three blind mice. I think history will show that our blindness shone through the night and the day and all over this land and in the Caribbean. I'm eternally grateful for having learned so much from Owen. We met very frequently, and he passed on his knowledge of finance and economics and other aspects of government. And we, in turn, would do the same as far as our knowledge went. We lost a great leader, a very great leader, and he's made an outstanding contribution, which I think would be something for the younger people who are now running the country and who will run the country in the future to learn from. I send my deep sympathy to his family.
Sir David Simmons, your thoughts.
Good morning, David, and your listeners. I wish to endorse all that Henry has said and begin by offering sincerest condolences on behalf of myself and my family to Owen Arthur's widow, his two daughters, and the extended family. We, Owen and I, go back to 1981, one Sunday during the election campaign. George Griffith brought him to where I was canvassing in Blades Hill and introduced him to me. And ever since then, we have been very good friends. I have to confess that in the last 5 years or so, we weren't as close as we were before for all kinds of reasons. I spent a lot of those years out of Barbados working in the Northern Caribbean and in Jamaica and in Trinidad up to 2014. We were in the Senate together in 1984 when he came into the Senate as a result of by-elections. And of course, in 1985, in May 1985, I followed him out of the Senate and back into the House of Assembly in my case because I won the by-election in St. Thomas. And we worked very closely in the year leading to the 1986 general election. And in that election, the Barbados Labour Party was decimated. But we were determined, Henry, who was leading the party at the time, one of myself, to start to rebuild the party and to work closely. We committed ourselves to working almost like brothers. I wish to say that every morning at about 6:30, when Arthur would call me, and we would discuss whatever we were going to be doing politically, if there were columns to be written, and particularly the column for The Nation, the, what was it called, Beresford, Leon Padmore, he or I or my brother Peter would write the column. But the three of us, led by Henry, carried a great burden for the Barbados Labour Party. And I know Owen always said that those years, 1986 to 1994, were the hardest in politics. Because you can imagine, after we were left with three members, you couldn't find the others who had run in the election. And we had to carry not only the political burden, but also the financial burden of rebuilding the Barbados Labour Party. We were the opposition, I think, as you said in your opening, David, for a time, and then the NDP superseded us. I will be able to tell you a couple of stories and a joke about that later on. But I
build the party and to work closely. We committed ourselves.
I think we're getting a bit of an echo there. One of the questions, can you hear me well? There's a repeat coming up there. I want to get some sense, though, of the transition to Owen Arthur as leader of the Labour Party. Much has been said about that over the years. Henry Ford, talk to us about what led to that decision.
Well, Owen Arthur, as you know, became the leader on the vote of the parliamentary party as a whole. He had been recognized earlier by Tom Adams and Bree St. John as perhaps one of the most outstanding young people that had come into the party with a tremendous knowledge and with a desire to serve. And we therefore, the parliamentary party, when I gave up the leadership, decided that we would vote on the matter, and he was unanimously selected. I think there was only one of our members of the parliamentary party who was overseas at the time. But we recognized that he had the qualities for leading the party that had achieved so much for the people of Barbados and the Caribbean. And as you know, he was very much liked by Bernard St. John, Sir Harold, and by Tom Adams. And the vote for him, other than the one member who was overseas, was unanimous. And he hasn't let us down.
What would you identify as his passions in politics?
His passion in politics was really in order to lead the country and to make sure that we built it back to the stage that it will be able to serve the people of this country. And his service was outstanding in every respect.
Okay, so we're going to mix comments coming from people like yourselves who have been involved in the hustle and bustle of Barbadian politics in the period that Owen Arthur was also there, with the views of people, average, ordinary Barbadians who want to have a voice, want to have a say. So let's go to the telephone lines and take our first caller. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Peace be unto you, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am.
The staff, and I'm happy I didn't hear Mr. Johnson's voice. I couldn't take the voice because I had some hammering. But welcome back, Mr. Johnson. Happy to have you back at work again. Just take care of yourself. Let me say with deep sadness, wishing you would know, my family is touched by the passing of Honorable Owen Arthur. Mr. Arthur wasn't only our Prime Minister, but to my family, my stepfather, Rudolph Boykma Brown, and my mom, Jean, Lady Jordan. And there with his victories, I know that what one of those persons that was celebrating and laughing, one had to be my mom. Because wherever there was a meeting, my mom had to be there, clad in her colors. And on the behalf of my family here in Barbados, my siblings and family overseas, we are saddened by the death of this gentleman and our Prime Minister.
What I'd really like to hear from you as you make your contributions today is what stands out most in your memory when you look at the contribution that he made from where you sit. What stands out most of all?
Well, his contribution to Barbados, and
specifically, what contribution?
He did a lot of things. I can say he did things some that some people we didn't agree with, but I can't specifically.
You ever met him?
Pardon me? Of course, but you know, Mr. Ellis, he was like a family to us, not blood, but he was like a family. He always would be at my family's home, my mom and my stepfather's home, so he was like a family. I met him several times, yes.
What stood out for you?
Well, what stood out for me is that he was like a family to us, and he treated my family like his own.
Okay.
So I could say that, because that is what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. That with me, we was like his family and he was like our family. So for me, I would say that, you know, we wasn't lower class or anything for him. He always and the others would always I wouldn't even say if regret is too low for me. Would always come to my mom and my stepfather's home. So that would stand out for me, is to see that we wasn't less than anybody. He upset us as his friends, or you could say almost family.
All right, ma'am.
And my other thing is, I heard Dominica Prime Minister, he was giving his speech this morning, a special speech, and he said that Mr. Owen Arthur did a lot for Dominica. So he is well known around the Caribbean as helping the others also. So thank you very much.
Thank you too.
Right now I can't say anything there, but I know he did good. But for me, for me is to stand out in my mind that he was like a family to us.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We are also joined on the line by Clyde Maskell and Chris Sinclair as well. Let's come to you first of all, Clyde Maskell. In 2003, I think it was. That was when you, 2013, when you led the Democratic Labour Party. That
2003.
Was a, right, 2003, when you led the Democratic Labour Party. You were able at that time to move the seats from 3 to 7. What was your recollection of fighting an election against Owen Arthur as political leader of the Barbados Labour Party?
First, let me express condolences to his family and to the family also of the Barbados Labour Party. Owen Seymour was an outstanding politician and economist. In fact, he had first-class understanding of the intricacies of managing a small open economy. And certainly, he developed the art of self-defense. What do I mean? He really saw attack as the best means of defense. And in that sense, he became a formidable political opponent. So therefore, you can understand this man who loves words, who has wit. In fact, he told me that he had to work on developing his wit, which is a really fundamental strength to have. in politics, the ability to use words and to twist words. But he was so good at it that eventually, perhaps, it also became part of his problem. You know, his capacity to use words and think, so that it was a strength in itself. In all fairness, when you look at his performance, when you look at the evidence, he must be regarded as one of the best prime ministers to date that Barbados has had. But he also once told me in the conversation that if he had to evaluate prime ministership, that he would use three criteria: love, trust, and respect. And what was fundamental about that is that he never quite included competence, which I thought was strange, but I suspected that he expected that once you ascended to such heights, that you would have had the competence to get the job done. Then he made a revelation. He said, Clyde, in his usual way, of all these criteria that I've outlined, the person that perhaps best represents those criteria is the right excellent Earl Walton Barrett. I found it strange, but yet honest, in the sense that here's a man who himself was prime minister, seeking to evaluate the post itself and demonstrating that there are some other characteristics beyond your capacity to understand economics and everything else that were the criteria were far softer in terms of what we would expect of this hard-nosed politician. The whole question of being loved by the people, respected by the people, and having the trust of the people. In every sense, he was really the best combination of the politician and economist in our political sphere thus far.
There was a time when he was highly critical of you and you of him. What was the turning point in that relationship?
Well, there's no turning point. There's something called respect, which he said is important in evaluation anyone. In fact, the question really becomes, are you seeing anything in this young upstart on the other side that you perhaps believe is worthy? And there's a strange thing that happens within that August chamber. Notwithstanding all of the talk that you hear on the political platform, the members of parliament, especially the older members, would come to you and recognize that governance is a continuum. And therefore, they are, in some sense, looking to see, notwithstanding that you're in opposition, if there's anyone on the other side who can carry on and conduct the affairs of this country in a way befitting of what they would have done. And let me say this, because I'm known to speak my mind. To this day, there's no period that can surpass the period of the 1970s with respect to the quality of politician that we have seen. And I think we all can describe it. We need perhaps to reflect to see what it is, but I think we know what it is that they possess. So that turning point had nothing to do with any lack of respect. It had to do with a position which I took as a politician in changing or moving or switching to the other side. That's all it did.
Another contribution coming from Chris Sinclair, former Minister of Finance in the Democratic Labour Party administration. Good morning. Mr. Sinclair?
Morning. Yes, good morning. Are you hearing me?
Yes, quite well.
Yes. Right. Thank you very much, and allow me to join with the other esteemed gentlemen in expressing on behalf of my family condolences to Mr. Arthur's family on his passing, and of course to his close friends and esteemed colleagues in the political arena and otherwise. I think that in many respects, I share the views expressed about former Prime Minister Arthur. I think he has made a tremendous contribution to Barbados. He, of course, distinguished himself as a very clever and competent political leader, a very stable and competent Prime Minister. And outside of the context of that, as I got to know him a lot better in his post-prime ministerial role, he equally as well demonstrated to me that he was an individual of quite caring for many persons within our society, and as a friend, so to speak. I wouldn't go as far as to say that we were personal friends, but I saw in him a side that you necessarily would not have seen in politics, because in the political arena, once he put on his battle gear, of course, he was known to be quite sharp in his wit and his tongue and his temperament sometimes. And that kind of, for a lot of politicians too, I think, and in his case, that tends to give people the impression that that's be all and end all of a personality who is in politics. And fortunately, that was not to where Owen was concerned. And I got to see that I had the opportunity to work and to see him work at the CARICOM level, being the former director of the Caribbean Policy Development Center, having attended several CARICOM heads of government meetings and also sat on committees which he chaired as the lead prime minister for the single market and economy. So I got to see his tremendous intellect on matters pertaining to regional integration. I think he was an extremely strong regional integrationist. Of course, you got to see from a distance his capacity as an economist, both at the academic level and the practical level, having served as Minister of Finance quite successfully for an extended period of time. And then, of course, generally as Prime Minister of Barbados, to have held the office for as long as he did, I think the longest serving Prime Minister, and to do so with a high degree of success. I think when he was at the peak of his political and intellectual powers, he clearly destroyed the political environment in Barbados, as we would say, or as Shakespeare would say, like a colossus in those days. So I think that his loss, his passing, is a loss for Barbados and to the region. He still had quite a bit more to contribute. Of course, as you've seen, he was chairman of LEAD, involved in that. He clearly was also part of the team putting together the UNCTAD conference in Barbados, which had to be postponed because of COVID. And then latterly, I had the privilege of sitting with him on the Prime Minister's Special Council for Jobs and Investment only recently over the last few months, and was a member of his special group, because we were each divided into committees, his committee on industrial transformation. So I had the opportunity at length to converse with him on a number of matters, and he really, up to the very end, certainly last I saw him a few weeks ago, was sharp in mind and thought and intellect. And clearly he had a lot more to contribute, and therefore his passing is quite untimely and regretted.
Chris Sinclair, just be careful with any paper or any noise that comes close to the microphone, to your own microphone, because someone is having a challenge there and it's coming through on the air. We're looking at Owen Arthur. Owen Arthur remembered on Down to Brass Tacks. When we come back, we want to hear from some members of the public, and in particular, let's talk about how you have seen Owen Arthur's leadership impact on and change Barbados in any way. Sir Henry Ford, I know you have but a limited time with us, so I'd like to come to you to get your assessment of how Owen Arthur changed the Labour Party. In your judgment, how do you see that?
Well, you must recall first that the party was almost wiped off the political map when we lost so many seats and left only the three of us, who were called the three blind mice. And we had, therefore, to try to rebuild the party, not only in terms of finance, but in terms of membership and in terms of knowledge. It meant that we were like three schoolboys at times. Every possible meeting that we could hold, we held among ourselves. And let me say, Owen was a tremendous teacher, because David and I listened to him and used his knowledge in order to understand and learn properly how the economy of this country and of the Caribbean in general worked. Owen was our teacher, and we in turn passed on to him such knowledge as we had, not only in that same field, but on other subjects. And to that extent, I mean, he made a tremendous contribution to establishing a party that is now well on the road to being an example, for not only for the Caribbean islands, small islands, but for other countries in the world. And Owen Arthur found time, almost on certainly a weekly and sometimes a daily basis, in order for us to meet, and with other members of the party joining in from time to time. His contribution was outstanding in that respect. Of course, you know, the economy was improved as well. He rebuilt his policies, rebuilt the economy, the party's grasp on the economy and how we should run the country to the benefit of the people of Barbados.
So, Henry Ford, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Let's take another call. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Not bad. I have called to make my contribution by a poetic fashion. Could I do that?
Let me hear it.
It is called Owen. My sympathy goes out to the family of the late Owen Seymour, a prime minister Barbadians really adore. He ran the country for 14 years or so and leave Barbados for the whole world to explore. Owen was at the top of the list and would truly be missed. Oh, what a name. We have lost a real one of Barbados' best brains. He was so dynamic, born to be in politics. Owen never missed a trick when it comes to economics. His politics of inclusion was a real resolution. This man was so profound, he left Barbados on solid ground. I don't mean to sound remiss, but let me tell you this. You were worth knowing, although you leave us owing. That's it.
Thank you very much. And you're motivated to do this because? You're gone? Okay. Let's go to another one. Hello?
Top of the day to you all.
Yes, sir.
Now, before I start, I will ask your permission if I may just say a prayer.
Sure.
Thank you. It more or less follows on from something that Pilate saw, that he could do nothing, but rather that, not was the beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, and I quote, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." End of quote. And that is taken from Matthew 27:24. And the prayer I would offer in commemoration of the dead: through Jesus Christ, O Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts with the blessed hope of life eternal, for to your faithful people, O Lord, life is change, not ended. And when our mortal body body lies in death. There is prepared for its a dwelling place eternal in the heavens. Amen. Now, Mr. Ellis and others, I have had very close contact with the Prime Minister Arthur, as I was a member of the National Executive Council for 10 years. Of course, he could only be the chairman for three, like the others. And I served with such people as His Excellency, Mr. Farley, the same Oinafa, or Prime Minister Motley, and Dame Billy Miller. And I should add to that, interestingly enough, the General Secretary of most of those council meetings was no other than a Mr. Caswell Franklin, who is now a senator. And I think that is worth remembering. I remember very well that our Prime Minister did not suffer fools gladly, just like Shakespeare would have said. I remember once in a council meeting, a businessman was said to be in trouble with his business, and I would not call his name. And Mr. Arthur said, well, we have to help him. And somebody from inside the council said, but he is a Dem. Mr. Arthur just said, he might be a Dem, but he's a Barbadian and he's black. And those words have never left me. I had enormous respect for Owen Arthur from that very evening. Never forgot them. And that man was helped with his business. In fact, until after Owen Arthur left office, then it would appear that he lost that business. And I'll say no more about that. Mr. Arthur was also the honorable patron of the Barbados Consumers Research Organization. And I also would say that he has a sister in Valme Bent Arthur, who helped us in the formation of that organization, along with attorney Al Gollop. Now, what some people will not know is that his sister looks virtually exactly like Owen Arthur. And she assisted my late wife when she was pregnant with my son. Or she was the head of the department that dealt with pregnant women at the time at the QEH. And what a lot of people may not even know is that Valmer was not only a great nurse, but she was a politician when she lived in England.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Ellis.
Yes.
Sir Henry and Sir David. I, Horace Bailey, have lost a good friend. Owen Seymour Arthur was my friend. I was his friend. I remember the days when I would be working and Owen would call me, Horace, where are you? I said, I'm out driving tourists. He said, make it and come to my office in Bay Street. And we would go there and sit down and go through every individual candidate that was running for election. He told me there, Horace, Clyde Maskell, and Mayor Motley add 10 more years onto my life. God bless them. I feel so sad. I don't lose time in talking or losing words, but I tell you, I have lost a good friend. The last couple of years, we were not that close as we used to be due to certain things, which I will not discuss. Wayne told me a time to say, Horace, I'm going to turn this country upside down. I'm going to run it the way that Tom Adams would have run this country. And I'm going to carry along what Tom leave on. he was a good man. Barbados has lost an icon. He was great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, I want to hear from the panelists that we have assembled on the politics of inclusion. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
It's significant that while the West Indies are playing now in England, that Mr. Arthur has passed away. I say this because after the very first test, he called me, and in his typical with Arthur style, I couldn't get in the word. He was complaining and ranting and raving about why certain people were not in the team and why certain things weren't done. He called every day of the second test match, and he had this way of perhaps judging and also marking cricketers with a very high standard, because that's how he thought of the game. He was indeed the connoisseur, lover of cricket, perhaps one of the best prime ministers that have loved the game that we've ever had, in my time at least. And I think that him passing is a sad day for the game of cricket. So I want to extend condolences on behalf of myself, my entire family, on his passing. Owen Seymour Arthur, a giant and a really great lover of the game of cricket. He was a patron of the Barbados Cricket Association. He was the man behind the cricket legend. He was indeed one of the main people who got the legends up and running. He had great respect for the cricketing legends of Barbados. And if you read the Edward Two Weeks' book, you would see why I'm saying so sweet words about Owen Arthur, because he was indeed one of the main men behind the Edward Two Weeks' book. He also paid a great tribute to Sir Edward Two Weeks recently. So look, I really want to extend my condolences and my sympathy, and I'm really sorry that he would not get to see the end of this test series. For his sake, I hope the West Indies can draw this test match and still bring back home the Wisden Trophy for his honour.